Ed and Hassan lowered the shoebox coffin lid over Mom. They pushed the box into the rear wall, and only when they closed it behind a little door on the wall did I notice all the little doors in the wall, like a morgue. They pulled the handle down. A hiss of steam escaped through the door. The flash freezing process was over. One second, Mom was there, and the next, everything about her that made her Mom was frozen and stagnant. She was as good as dead for the next 3 centuries until someone opened that door and woke her up. "The girl's next?" Ed asked. I stepped forward, balling my hands into fists so they wouldn't shake. "No," Daddy said. Without waiting for Daddy's response, Ed and Hassan were already preparing another shoebox coffin. They didn't care whether it was me or him. They were just doing their job. "What?" I asked Daddy.
"I'm going next. Your mother wouldn't agree to that. She thought you'd still back down, decide to not come with us. Well, I'm giving you that option. I'm going next. Then if you'd like to walk away, not be frozen, that's okay. I've told your aunt and uncle. They're waiting outside. They'll be there until 5. After they freeze me, you can just walk away. Mom and I won't know. Not for centuries. Not till we wake up. And if you do decide to live instead of being frozen, we'll be okay."
"But Daddy, I..."
"No. It's not fair for us to guilt you into this. It'll be easier for you to make an honest decision if you do it without facing us."
"But I promised you. I promised Mom." My voice cracked. My eyes burned painfully, and I squeezed them shut. 2 hot trails of tears leaked down my face.
"Doesn't matter. That's too big of a promise for us to make you keep.
You have to make this choice yourself.
If you want to stay here, I understand. I'm giving you a way out."
"But they don't need you. You could stay here with me. You're not even important to the mission. You're with the military, for Pete's sake. How is a battlefield analyst supposed to help on a new planet? You could stay here. You could be..."
Daddy shook his head.
"With me,"
I whispered, but there was no point in asking him to stay. His mind was made up. And it wasn't true anyway. Daddy was 6th in command, and while that didn't exactly make him commander-in-chief, it was still pretty high up. Mom was important too. No one was better at genetic splicing, and they needed her to help develop crops that could grow on the new planet. I was the only one not needed. Daddy went behind the curtain and undressed. And when he came out, Ed and Hassan let him use a hand towel to cover himself as he walked to the cryo chamber. They took it away when he lay down, and I forced my eyes to stare at his face, to not make this worse for either of us. But his face radiated pain, a look I had never seen Daddy wear before. It made my insides twist with even more fear, more doubt. I watched them plug the 2 IVs in. I watched them seal his eyes. I tried to retreat within myself, silence the scream of horror reverberating in my mind, and stand straight with a spine made of iron and a face made of stone. Then Daddy squeezed my hand once, hard, as they crammed the tubes down his throat, and I crumbled, inside and out. Before they filled his box with the blue speckled liquid, Daddy held up his hand, his pinky finger sticking out. I wrapped my own pinky around his. I knew that with it, he was promising everything would be okay, and I almost believed him. I cried so hard when they filled his cryo chamber up, I couldn't see his face as it drowned in the liquid. Then they lowered the lid, slammed him in his mortuary, and a puff of white steam escaped through the cracks.
"Can I see him?" I asked.
Ed and Hassan looked at each other. Hassan shrugged. Ed jerked the lever of the little door open again and pulled out the clear shoebox coffin. And there was Daddy. The translucent liquid was frozen solid, and I knew so was Daddy. I put my hand on the glass, wishing there was a way to feel his warmth through the ice, but snatched it away quickly. The glass was so cold it burned. Green lights blinked on the little electric box Hassan had fixed to the top of Daddy's cryo tube. He didn't look like Daddy under the ice.
"So," Ed said, "are you going under or are you leaving the party early?"
He pushed Daddy's shoebox coffin back into its little slot in the wall. When I looked up at Ed, my eyes were so watery that his face sort of melted, and he looked a bit like a cyclops. My eyes slid to the exit, past all the cryo equipment on the other side of the room. Beyond that door were my aunt and uncle, who I loved, who I could be happy living with. And beyond them was Jason, and Rebecca, and Heather, and Robin, and all my friends, and the mountains, the flowers, the sky, Earth. Beyond that door was Earth, and life. But my eyes drifted to the little doors on the wall. Beyond those doors were my mama and Daddy. I cried as I undressed. The first boy who ever saw me naked was Jason. just that one time. The night I found out I would leave behind everything on Earth, and everything included him. I did not like the idea that the last boys to see me naked on this planet would be Ed and Hassan. I tried to cover myself with my arms and hands, but Ed and Hassan made me remove them so they could put the IVs in. And oh God, it was worse than Mom made it look. Oh God, it was cold and it was burning all at the same time. I could feel my muscles straining as that blue goo entered my system. My heart wanted to pound, beat upon my ribcage like a lover beating on the door. But the blue goo made it do the opposite and slow down, so that instead of beat, 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 it went beat, 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 beat. Ed jerked my eyelids open. Plop, cold yellow liquid filled my eyes, sealing them like gum. Plop. I was blind now. One of them, maybe Hassan, tapped on my chin, and I opened my mouth obediently. Apparently not wide enough, the tubes hit my teeth. I opened wider, and then the tubes were forced down my throat, hard. They did not feel as flexible as they had looked. They felt like a greased broomstick being crammed down my mouth. I gagged and gagged again. I could taste bile and copper around the plastic of the tubes. "Swallow it," Ed shouted in my ear. "Just relax." Easy for him to say. A few moments after it was done, my stomach tingled. I could feel the wires inside me being pulled and tugged as Hassan plugged the little black box to the outside of my very own shoebox coffin. Shuffling noises. The hose.
"Don't know why anyone would sign up for this," Hassan said.
Silence. A metallic sound. The hose being opened up. Cold, cold liquid splashed on my thighs. I wanted to move my hands to cover myself there, but my body was sluggish.
"I don't know," Ed said. "Things ain't exactly peachy here now. Nothing's been right since that first recession, let alone the second. The financial resource exchange was supposed to bring more jobs, wasn't it? Ain't got nothing now other than this POS job, and it'll be over as soon as they're all frozen."
Another silence. The cryo liquid washed over my knees now, seeping cold into the places of my body that had been warm. The crease of my knees, under my arms, under my breasts.
"Not worth giving your life away, not for what they're offering."
Ed snorted.
"What they're offering? They're offering a lifetime salary all in one check. Ain't worth nothing on a ship that won't land for 301 years.
My heart stopped. 301? No, that's wrong. It's 300 years even, not 301.
That much money can sure help a family out. Might make the difference.
"What difference?" Hassan asked.
"Difference between surviving or not. It's not like when we were kids. Don't care what the prez says, that financial act ain't gonna be able to fix this kind of debt."
"What are they yammering about? Who cares about national debt and jobs? Go back to that extra year."
"A man has time to think about it anyway," Ed continued. "Consider his options. Why'd they delay the launch again?"
Cryo liquid splashed against my ears as my shoebox coffin filled. I lifted my head. Delay? What delay? I tried to speak around the tubes, but they filled my mouth, crowded my tongue, silenced my words.
"I have no idea. Something about the fuel and feedback from the probes. But why are they making us keep all the freezing on schedule?"
The cryo liquid was rising fast. I turned my head so my right ear could catch their conversation.
"Who cares?" Ed asked. "Not them. They'll just sleep through it all. They say the ship will take 300 years just to get to that other planet. What's the difference in one more year?"
I tried to sit up. My muscles were hard, slow, but I struggled. I tried to talk again, make a sound, any sound, but the cryo liquid was spilling over my face.
"Just relax," Ed said very loudly near my face.
I shook my head. God, didn't they know? A year made the world of difference. This was one more year I could be with Jason, one more year I could live. I signed up for 300 years, not 301. Gentle hands, Hassan's, pushed me under the cryo liquid. I held my breath. I tried to rise up. I wanted my year, my last year, one more year.
"Breathe in the liquid."
Ed's voice sounded muffled, almost indecipherable under the cryo liquid. I tried to shake my head, but as my neck muscles tensed, my lungs rebelled, and the cold, cold cryo liquid rushed down my nose, past the tubes, and into my body. I felt the finality of the lid trapping me inside my snow-white coffin. As one of them pushed at my feet, sliding me into my morgue, I imagined that my Prince Charming was just beyond my little door, that he really could come and kiss me awake, and that we could have a whole year more together. There was a click, click, grr of gears, and I knew the flash freezing would start in mere moments, and then my life would be nothing but a puff of white steam leaking through the cracks of my morgue door. And I thought, at least I'll sleep. I will forget, for 301 years, everything else. And then I thought, that'll be nice. And then, whoosh, the flash freeze filled the tiny chamber. I was in ice. I was ice. I am ice. But if I'm ice, how am I conscious? I was supposed to be asleep. I was supposed to forget about Jason and life and Earth for 301 years. People have been cryo-frozen before me, and none of them were conscious. If the mind is frozen, it cannot be awake or aware. I've read before of coma victims who were supposed to be knocked out with anesthesia during an operation, but really they were awake and felt everything. I hope, I pray, that's not me. I can't be awake for 301 years. I'll never survive that. Maybe I'm dreaming now. I've dreamt a lifetime in a 30-minute nap. Maybe I'm still in that space between frozen and not, and this is all a dream. Maybe we haven't left Earth yet. Maybe I'm still in that limbo year before the ship launches, and I'm stuck, trapped in a dream I can't wake from. Maybe I've still got 301 years stretching out before me. Maybe I'm not even asleep yet, not all the way. Maybe, maybe, maybe. I only know one thing for certain. I want my year back.